Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, what a week. What a weekend to be a Crystal Palace fan. I don't know if we got any Palace fans in tonight, but Mr. Glasner's toys, they are out of the pram. They are down the road.
How long are you giving him?
Because
he said he's going at the end of the season. That was on Friday.
Well, first of all, what a press conference on Friday, right?
Was it Friday or Thursday? I think it was Friday.
So Gaye's like gone the day before to City, like all but done, right? It's all but done. And then in that press conference, he's like, they've abandoned me, was the word he was using. We feel abandoned.
No, that was on Saturday after the game, wasn't it?
Was it? No, yeah, that's right. It's abandoned. But
in the Friday one, it was like, Gaye's leaving. I'm going at the end of the season.
I'm going.
And we were all just like, sorry, what now?
Oh, and Mateta can leave for the right money.
And then he's talking to Juventus. That's Friday. Roll in Saturday. We've been abandoned.
Yeah.
And he just... I have never seen such a brilliant press conference, to be fair. Watching it,
it was
like...
crazy.
Wow. I've never known a manager... It was brilliant. But if you're a Palace fan, what are you thinking?
Well, to answer your question, I don't think he's here till in the next week. Never mind the end of the season. I think he's just trying to manufacture a way out, no?
A lot of clubs in the market for a new manager at the moment, Lee, from FPL Family. So, you know, maybe he's just thinking, and maybe this is a moment to get out and go somewhere else.
What a time to be a Premier League manager. Of course, we had all the kind of, you're right, you had the whole Amorim and Maresca thing, right? And now Glasner looks as if he's on his way. My manager's under pressure. Your manager's under pressure.
Well, I'm amazed it's like, gone already.
Phew, bloody hell. It's like, it's all go, isn't it? It's absolutely all go.
We could do a swap.
What,
maybe,
you want
maybe
slot,
this is
you?
The best. No, not really. But maybe we could just do a little, like, triple. We could do, like, a little swap. Like, Glasner could come to Spurs. I think I'd rather him than Slot. Don't really want either of them. But anyway, Glasner could come to Spurs. Slot could go to Palace. And Frank could go to Liverpool. Just do a three-way swap.
But the managers that are on the market, like Maresca on the market. Amorim on the market. Xabi Alonso.
I'd like Alonso, please.
Oh, would you? I bet yes. I'm sure.
I have Alonso, please. Does he want to come to Spurs? I'll take Alonso.
Yeah. Bit of a step up for him, wasn't it? Getting at Real Madrid. Listen, matters off the pitch were as interesting over the last 2 days as matters on it. But we have, Sam, got to talk about matters on it. And we've got to talk about FPL as well. And we've got to talk about your wild card. We'll do that in just a second in terms of how you got on. Evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. As usual, we'll do a little look back at all of the weekend's action. One game still to go, by the way. Any of you that are holding Brighton or Bournemouth assets, I've still got one to play going into tomorrow. I've got Bart Verbruggen to play tomorrow. And I need him to save a couple of penalties to save my game week, not going to lie. So I've got Barbara Bruggen in Brighton versus Bournemouth. So if you've got anybody to go in that one, then yeah, good luck, of course. But 9 games to go through tonight, a wild card of yours to have to go through, which I think, generally speaking, given the greenness of the arrow that you guys can see on screen, I think it's gone pretty well, actually. We'll talk about it in just a second. I'm also considering hitting the wild card this week. Big spoiler alert. Go on.
I would question... Right, I have questions about that.
Or
maybe,
do it.
Maybe we'll do it later.
Do
because
it.
You went on the FPL show at the beginning of January and said, no, it's way too early. It's way too early. It's way too early. Because I got asked about it when I went on the FPL show. Like Kelly said, your husband came here and he said, it's way too early. The week later, you've pulled the trick. And then, you know, when I was doing my wild card, you were still saying, oh, it's too early. It's too early. I feel like you've had one bad game week and you're a bit Glasner. Your toys have gone out of the pram. And you've gone, I'm wild carding.
Yeah, it's a bad game week for me, no doubt about it. However, the wild card was always in plan for next week. It was always in plan for next week, 24, because big fixture swings. We'll talk about Manchester United as well, who, according to the thumbnail, are back. Everyone's back.
Bruno's back. Mbeumo's back.
Mbeumo, they're all back.
Back from injury, back from AFCON, back.
And lots to discuss on that performance as well, because bloody hell, United fans, where's that been all season? Very, very good performance. I'm like... Where's this Ahmad been all season? Like, unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. But lots to discuss on that game. But the wild card for me was always planned next week, 24. So I'm considering bringing it forward to game week 23. One of the reasons I'm considering doing that is because, of course, the rules have changed this year around wild cards. I have 4 free transfers going into next week. And I'm looking at some of the transfers I would like to make for game week 20, two. What have we just done? 22.
So for game 23 is coming up.
So for game week 23. So I was thinking about some of the transfers I'd like to make for 23. And I'll talk about it. I put a slide together with what sacrifices I'll be making and what it does enable me to do. And when I look at it, it's kind of like, well, why would I spend two or three, or one of the options is even to spend all four of my transfers this week, when a lot of the moves that I'll be making, I'll be doing next week on wildcard anyway. So why don't I just bring the wildcard forward, and then in game week 24, I'll have four free transfers to fix anything that's majorly wrong. But there are some things that I might miss out on by bringing the wildcard forward, like bringing out Hugo Ekitike, like maybe taking out Tarkowski. But we'll talk about those a bit later on. I've got lots and lots of wildcard thoughts, and I haven't hit the button yet, but I'm close, I think. I'm close. But before we do all of that, Sam, let's say hello to a few people, because we've got all the usual suspects. And George is here. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Very good to see you. We've got Kingdom FC is in. Very good to see you, mate. Nick is in. Mr. Danny McDonald is in. All of our slackers, all the patrons are here. The Smiths, 1986, Azzy is in. Watkins owners, what is your short and long-term plan? Yeah, what do you think of Ollie Watkins today? Changed, didn't they, Villa? Once John McGinn goes off, we've got to talk about it. But no Onana, no McGinn. It does affect them, not having that player in there.
It does, but honestly, how Morgan Rogers hasn't got something out of the game. But that's the point. When I think back to that game, having watched it, I can't think about Ollie Watkins at all. Like, I can't think of anything that he really... Whereas Morgan Rogers, it's like, oh, that could have gone in. That could have gone in. There was a load of opportunities. I don't understand why people own Ollie Watkins.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, with Marlon gone as well, it's kind of like nailed on, isn't it? And his minutes are more now. That's why people are thinking him.
Nailed on. If you've got to be good.
Got some chances. Yeah. Sheldon is in. Nice to see you, Sheldon. Steve Tyler is here. Mr. Nigel the Crab Simon is here, a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel for 46 months, Sam.
Blimey.
46 months. Howdy, Simon. My wildcard did okay, he says. Bruno Vert's triple Arsenal defence. P.S. I won't be around much in Feb in Singapore for a month, marrying my dream woman. Mate, all the best.
Oh,
all the best.
Good luck, Si.
For the marriage. We are very much looking forward to seeing some pics, mate, over in the Patreon or on Twitter or wherever it is you choose to post them, if indeed you choose to post them. We're looking forward to some pics, mate. So, yeah, congrats and... yeah, good luck for the big day, mate. Good luck. Malachi Fox is here. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're doing well. 41 points and up to 82K. Doesn't seem too bad, that Malachi, this week. Congrats to Sam on the wildcard success.
Is it right?
Yeah.
Can we just what? Tamper this a little bit?
Because people tamper or temper?
Both.
Okay.
People keep saying this to me.
It's a green arrow. What's not to like?
It would have been a greener arrow if I'd not played the bloody wildcard.
Had it.
So can we stop saying
it's
been a success? Because actually it wouldn't have been a flipping success.
Malachi's just trying to be nice.
I know, but it's grating on me. Every time somebody says well done, I'm like, on what? Like, thank you, Malachi. I appreciate it. However, as I explained to the guys in the Slack, when they also tried to say this to me yesterday... I would have been forced to have played Dorgu this week because I had three. I had no Gehi, no Josh King, and no Giyu.
Yeah.
So I would have been forced to have started Dorgu.
Had to play Dorgu.
And obviously that would have been fine. I'd have still had Raya in goal, who did better than Timber. So there was a lot of things that.
He's just trying to be nice.
I'm sure. But sorry, it's actually not been very successful. It's been successful in that it's a green arrow, but it's one of those where when you think about what could have been,
all right,
it's not been.
Right, okay. Sorry to piss on your chips, Malachi, and thanks for the super chat and for saying congrats and everything else.
Please. Because I just feel like a bit of a fraud. Every time somebody says congrats, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right.
Okay.
But I don't want to take the congrats without saying, well, really.
Here's the reality of the situation.
The reality of the situation is that I feel better about my team, don't get me wrong, and moving forward. And it is a green arrow, and that's really nice. And
correct.
It's a nice green arrow, and that's really great. And my team is much better now than it was last week. So all of those things, yes, that's right.
Good.
But
good.
The Dorgu things piss me off.
All right. Jack Benham is in. He's saying the Senegal player's now going down the tunnel at AFCON. It must all be kicking off in the AFCON, in
what's
the final.
AFCON?
Who knows what's going on? Who knows? But Senegal walked off because Morocco died for a pen in the last minute. What? Wow. Okay.
What did they give it?
Some absolute scenes in the AFCON that we're missing out on. So maybe you guys have got that in the background. Thanks for joining us here tonight and having that on, one eye on this and one eye on that. Nicole's here. We've got Chatterbox 5,200. I'm up to 17K, says.
Ooh,
getting a
very
nosebleed.
Nice.
Get it. That is nosebleed territory,
that is
Chatterbox.
Nosebleed territory.
Love it. Very good indeed. So a whole host of you in tonight. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Leave us a like, of course, and hit subscribe if you're new around here. All that good stuff. Let's, Sam, go to some of these games and let's go into here. And you'll notice that I have defaulted the screen to Manchester United 2, Manchester City 0. A lot of key talking points coming out of this game. As usual, I have a lot of thoughts, but I hand it over to you. What did you make of the game?
So I was driving to Spurs during most of this game. And because I had my youngest with me, she doesn't really want to listen to the football on the radio. So we didn't really listen to the football on the radio.
Oh, you had to have cap it on, did you?
There was some singing. There was some nonsense going on. Anyway, we get to Spurs. We get in the stadium. I look at the screen and I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
What's happening here? And then obviously I watched it back on Match of the Day. And I could not believe the difference in Manchester United.
This was no fluke, by the way. They were fantastic, Manchester United.
Yeah, this is not a... like, sometimes you talk about new manager bounce and we sort of jest around with the, like, well, this will make a difference and they'll come good and that. This was like watching Manchester United of, like... When were
the
they
Carrick
good?
Era.
When were they good?
The Carrick era.
Yeah. Like, back in the day when they were really good. This was like watching them then. And I was like... Wow, what's happened in a week? Like, and I think there was a lot of things that changed. Obviously, the personnel on the pitch is different. The fact that they've got Bruno back and fully fit and available to play is obviously very helpful. The fact that Mbombo's back from AFCON is very helpful.
Do you think Mbombo keeps that position in the nine? We don't know, really, do we?
We don't know, really. Because
I mean, if he does, we want him, don't we? Don't we?
What, as well as Bruno?
Well, yeah, I think so.
It's two midfielder slots, though. It's quite hard to find
in
two
a midfield. Yeah,
slots.
The midfield slots are slowly getting, quickly getting eaten up, aren't they? But if Mbombo's going to be in the nine, I like the look of it. Equally, if Dorgu's going to keep being attacking left, I'm going to want him as well.
Honestly, so Dorgu's the most frustrating thing in the world because I bring Dorgu in for Leeds, for Wolves, Leeds, Burnley.
Yeah.
And in that time, he gets like no points. Just like nothing from him. And it's so infuriating because he gets one assist, I think, doesn't he? He gets one assist against Burnley. And it's like, right, okay. They go into a game against Manchester City. And I was like, well, they've got Manchester City up next and then they've got Arsenal. I don't know exactly what Manchester United are going to look like under Carrick. I don't know where on the positions he's going to play. Is he going to be as attacking? Is he going to be more defensive? It feels like a good opportunity to remove him and because it's easy enough to go back to somebody like Dorgu, who's cheap as chips. So going back there is not an issue if you want to go back there. For him to register 15 points in this game was just frankly unbelievable. But yeah, I agree with you.
Many would have benched.
He was one of the most bench players and also one of the most sold players this week. So it wasn't like... It wasn't massively painful because he's also not that heavily owned. He's owned by 7% of the game.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm so frustrated by that because owning a player and having I'd have had to play him. So playing a player that's owned by 7% of the game who gets a 15-point haul, that's huge. So
what's your plans now, though, around Manchester United assets? So you sold Dorgu.
Yes.
You didn't get Bruno Fernandes on your wild card?
No. So
your plan was always Wirtz, wasn't it, to Fernandes in
yes,
24?
But I ended up doing, as I explained on Ohana in midweek, I was umming and ahhing as to whether I wanted to leave the extra money. So, and in the end, I did do that. So I've left enough money that either the very frustrating Morgan Rogers or if Semenyo didn't end up being what I thought he might be at Manchester City.
Yeah.
I had other options that I could move. So instead of doing Thiago, I did DCL, which was neither here nor there this week. For next week, I'll prefer the Thiago fixture, but I also like having the money for the Bruno situation. So, so I've got the money in the bank for Bruno for 24. I'm not going to go there ahead of Arsenal. I don't think I want to add any more players into that mix. I've already got the three Arsenal assets for that one.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to add any further complications. I think I'll just go into it with my three Arsenal players.
But you are going to get him? 24, he's almost certainly coming in.
No, he's 100% coming in.
Yeah, isn't he? He looked like he'd never been away. I know he's had a couple of... If anything, he looked like...
Doesn't mean I won't go for Dorgu as well.
Yeah, sure. But like Bruno's going to be in everyone's team, isn't he? I mean, when I watched him at the weekend, it looked like he'd, you know, he played for a Sunday League team and he hadn't played for a few weeks and he was really happy to be back and playing with his mates, right? And the fact that the occasion was there as well, the fact that it was a Manchester derby, he'd just come back into it and was just flying around like an absolute lunatic again. And I was just like, we got to a point where in the game, he got, what? So a couple of points for playing, got the clean sheet point, gets an assist. Don't know if he got defensive contributions. Let's have a look. Two bonus points and then defensive contributions. Yes, 14, right? So he's got all the points again, Bruno, all the points. And just the way that he just sort of, got back into the groove. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It was such a good performance. And then Cunha being benched and Cunha coming on and effectively getting two assists, right? I know the second one got ruled out, but very easily could have been a second assist for Cunha, that. Suddenly, I know some of you in the chat have already said about you're going over the top with the thumbnail. We probably are, to be honest with you. But still, if Mbeumo's playing nine, I want him. If Dorgu's going to be playing left wing at 4 point whatever as a defender, I want him. Bruno, I want.
I'm mad.
Maybe. I mean, I want to see a bit more consistency first, obviously. Cunha, an option. All of a sudden, on the back of one game, I'm like, we all want Man United again? Or are we just jumping to conclusions a bit quickly here?
It's Arsenal up next. And I appreciate that it's just been Manchester City. And I appreciate that, you know, we weren't expecting this result and we need to look at it. But I kind of agree with what the guys are saying. I do think it's too early. One good result doesn't mean everything's changed. Like, Spurs have good results and then they go back to losing to West Ham. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's not necessarily that it's everything's changed and everything's fixed now at Manchester United just because one result goes their way. I want to watch the Arsenal game.
All right.
I think Bruno is nailed. He feels like the one we should be having in FPL. Outside of Bruno, I do think there's conversations to be had, but I think we might be able to judge those conversations better based upon what we see in the game against Arsenal.
All right, and then Manchester City then, as the guys in the chat quite rightly saying, and I agree with you, they look leggy as hell, didn't they? They've come out in the last week or so, Pep, and said about Haaland being a bit tired, a bit knackered. I can't remember the exact word he used. But yeah, maybe he does need a rest. That's only one penalty goal now in the last sort of four or five games.
Mm.
I went against him for captaincy this week for and that was one of the reasons. The other reason is that the season's just crap, isn't it? And I just need to be better. So taking those calculated risks feels like something I'm going to continue to do. But City, I've got Foden and he's apparently now broke his hand or something. There's some some reports he's got a broken hand. So can he play with that? Can he not? I don't know. O'Reilly's benched. Comes on, gets booked immediately, concedes two goals, he gets a minus one. I'm like, I'm on the wrong City assets here, aren't I? Mm. I'm just on the wrong City assets. And defensively, actually, when the lineups were released, look, listen, Kuzhinov's a nice player. He's a young player. And then I looked at some of the others as well. Max Alain is in there, isn't he? I think is how you say this kid's name. You know, to chuck him into a Manchester derby is a pretty big call from Pep. And it's like,
going for Gahey, isn't it?
Well, of course, but I looked at the team and I just thought, this is absolutely a back line that Manchester United could get at.
Yeah, for sure.
And they have done. So yeah, the Gahey signing does actually make some sense. Have you got Gahey in your team?
Yeah.
All right, so he'll roll over to be a Manchester City player at some stage. You're going to keep him, I assume.
Well, as I said on Ohana last week, I was keeping Gahey for multiple reasons. One, he stays at Palace. They've got great fixtures. He's the best asset to own at Palace, in my view. If he moves to Man City, I mean, it's Man City, the fixtures, everything else. He's going to strengthen them, should be better defensively, and he's still got attacking threat. If he moved to Liverpool, same principles apply. I kind of felt like Gahey, wherever he was a good buy. So I held.
I feel like he's nailed when he gets to City, though. Well, don't you?
Absolutely.
He's got to play ahead of them.
The problem is he's also knackered. So you're adding a knackered Gahey into a knackered Man City team.
Yeah. Is he knackered, though?
Well, yeah. That's what we've been saying about Palace for months.
Yeah, but some of their attacking players are tired. I don't know whether Gahey's really in that bracket.
I think he is.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, he's going to have to not be knackered if he's going to get up to the intensity of the Manchester City team, isn't he?
But he will also, like Semenyo, not be in their Champions League squad. So he will not be playing midweek for a bit because he's already played. It doesn't matter, does it, that he's already played in, because they can't drop in, so that's fine. They can't be added until the round of the knockout stages, basically.
Okay.
So that means you've got at least a couple of games. And if Man City have to go through the playoffs, you've got those as well. So four games, potentially.
And as the chat is rightly saying, he's just had the week off, Gay.
He's had the week off.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not going to be playing midweek like Semenyo. So maybe actually those two feel like important Premier League assets for Manchester City over the next month or so.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm usually fairly critical of Manchester United on these streams. So it's only fair if I big them up when they're good. And this was good. Very, very good indeed. Let's go to Chelsea 2, Brentford 0 then. So Palmer back on the score sheet, albeit via a penalty. Although I think I did see some pictures of him towards the end of the game. Looking a little bit like still, there's still something there.
It's not right.
There's still a niggly injury there.
There is.
And the pictures at the end of the game, him sitting on the pitch, he's not sort of, even when he scored the penalty, it wasn't exactly a, he wasn't doing a running away, doing his cold celebration and loving his life, was he? He looked like a guy that was troubled by something. João Pedro, though, back on the score sheet, and Enzo, for those that brought him in, getting the assist, which you did, I think, on Wildcard. Bring in Enzo, right? So we know that Chelsea have got this crazy good run of fixtures now. Let's have a look at it. It's Crystal Palace away when, you know, on paper a few weeks ago, that would have looked very, very different now. I mean, Palace, when didn't they win, didn't like 14 in a row? They didn't lose 14 in a row or something. And now they haven't won in 10.
It's unbelievable, the change in Palace. Crazy, it's unbelievable.
Isn't it? It's crazy. But anyway, Chelsea now away at Palace, looking like a pretty good fixture, actually, based on what's going on there. Then West Ham at home, Wolves, Leeds, Burnley, before, of course, Arsenal in 28. The next five look sensational for Chelsea. I don't have any of them, which is another reason I'd quite like to go early on my wildcard. I've got Guillou, of course, but that amounts to nothing, really. what did you make of the performance? And also, you've just got Enzo now. Have you got any thoughts to add to Enzo?
I talked myself out of the Chelsea defence after watching them in the League Cup in midweek against Arsenal, because what I want... And, you shouldn't let a game against Arsenal dictate how you feel, but I kind of watched them defensively and thought, ugh, if Sanchez is going to be playing this like play out from the back football, I can see mistakes, I can see them conceding goals.
Yeah.
And so I decided in my infinite wisdom not to get a Chelsea defender, although I did recommend that Max got Chalobah, so I'd give other people good advice but probably not take it on board myself.
Yeah.
Defensively, I probably should have got one, is the reality. Yeah. I didn't expect them to keep a clean sheet in this one against Brentford. I expected Brentford to be better.
Brentford, the sort of team that I would have expected to give Chelsea headaches, because they press brilliantly, Brentford, right? It's one of their strengths, is they press from the front. Thiago's full of energy, et cetera, et cetera. Couldn't quite get it going, I don't think.
They were a bit blunt in this one, from what I saw in the highlights. A little bit lacking a little bit of impetus, I guess, in the forward attack. So for me, maybe it was a bit of a mistake on Wildcard not to get a Chelsea defender. I don't think I regret the goalkeeper. I think I feel comfortable that I've gone with Roofs, despite the fact there was no clean sheet for him this week. I felt like with the Chelsea defence, particularly in the goalkeeper situation, there is always the chance that Jurgensen gets a game and sees whether he can play out from the back. Yeah. Particularly if Sanchez.
Who would you go then? Chalobah? I mean, he's the obvious one.
I mean, Chalobah's the obvious one.
Bit expensive,
but he's
still,
expensive,
isn't
he? And that's the problem, isn't it? And
Kukurea is even more expensive, no?
Yeah. So, and that's the slight issue with the Chelsea defence, is that if you don't go for Sanchez, you do have to pay upwards of £5 million, realistically, which is why in the end I didn't have one, because when you've got Gabriel and Timber as part of your backline anyway, adding in another, and Gehi, who's now, although I didn't pay over five for him, he is over five. If you start adding in another one, that's a lot of money in defenders, like, and maybe that's the right call.
So you're happy just sitting with just Enzo for now, right?
I think for now. I mean, Palace do have the habit of, the teams that they've got coming up, I expect Chelsea to win 90% of those games. But the likes of Leeds, even Palace, they do score goals. So it is possible that there's that there's not a lot of clean sheets in those weeks, despite the fact that I think Chelsea score well and win those games.
Yeah, Wolves away in 25. Could that potentially be a bit more difficult? I don't know, they've improved. But listen, I'd back Chelsea to get, you know,
I'm actually a
lot of points, if not win all of those games, yeah, right? Sure. So anyone that wants to bring in Enzo, I don't mind it at all.
I'm happy with Enzo pick. Happy with that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on the defence. I think the chat's saying, and I think I remember watching some of the Match of the Day highlights, Sharda missed a couple of goals, right? Or a couple of opportunities, and good ones as well, right? Yeah. High XG.
It feels like a bit like the Tarko clean sheet today. Like, it did lead a bit of a charmed life, the Chelsea clean sheet.
Mm.
There were opportunities, but...
Yeah, chat saying that Brentford open play XG was actually higher than Chelsea's.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so Chelsea, obviously you include the penalty in that, the overall XG, it's different, but open play XG, let's see. So yeah, maybe the Chelsea defence a little bit lucky to get the clean sheet, but if you've got Sanchez, you are not worried about that. I think he got 11 points this week, so a big win. From a Brentford perspective, if you've got Thiago, you'd hold him now for Forest at home, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, what you'd do with him after that? I don't know. Question marks. In fact, it's a talking point potentially for those that are thinking of wildcarding early, like me this week, because, you know, going in on Thiago alongside Haaland on the wildcard for Forest at home is great, right? Villa away, Newcastle away, Arsenal home, Brighton home after that. It's like, well,
I think it depends.
Difficult fixtures, right?
I think it depends.
He's proven himself to be fixture proof.
Is he?
Well, I think he has. I think he's done enough to show us that, hasn't he?
No, I don't. I think it depends on whether you think that the last two game weeks, not including this one, were the norm, or whether you think that actually the previous five game weeks into those two were the norm. For me, I feel like what we saw over those 5 weeks without anything from Thiago was the norm. And we've reverted back to the norm again this week. We had two outlying results in that weekend round of game week 20 and in the midweek round of game week 21. And then we've gone back to what we saw in the five previous game weeks. I don't think that you need Thiago. Next week is different because it's Nottingham Forest, but Nottingham Forest defended well against Arsenal this time
they
around.
Did. Yeah, they did.
I think after the Nottingham Forest game, Thiago's an easy sell, which is why I got rid of him. I didn't have him on wildcard. I brought him in, hoping for a second price rise, never got it.
Don't know if he's an easy sell. I could get behind if you wanted to sell. I think it's an easy sell.
It depends on how you view the fixtures. If you see the last seven game weeks, eight game weeks now, as the two where he returned were the norm, then you hold.
Who would you have instead, though? That's my question.
Well, you downgrade. Or
from Thiago down.
I think you either go for, like I did, and you go for somebody like Dominic Calvert-Lewin to enable the midfield to be stronger.
Yeah.
Which is what I did on my wild card. Or you go all the way down and you get Mane and Coupe Jr. and you allow everyone else to be upgraded and play
like
one up top.
Just don't like
it. But there are other players that are available. You might decide you want to stick with Ekitike. You might decide that Manchester United have a forward that you want to go to in the next couple of weeks because, fixtures are delightful.
Well, we said about Šeško, didn't we, this time last week, and then he didn't get the game.
So it depends on what happens there.
Yeah.
It depends on who... If Bournemouth sign somebody, the Bournemouth fixtures are fantastic. If Bournemouth sign somebody, then having them instead of Cooper Jr. Or getting Evan Nilsson is interesting.
You're punting though, aren't you? You're punting. I mean, this is the thing. You look at the wildcard options and you say, okay, well, and the draft I put together, I'll show you later on, I've got Thiago in it. Mainly because, you know, you see Forest at home and you're like, well, got to have it. And I agree with you. I think if you look at those fixtures from game week 24 onwards, you could. I don't agree with you. He's an easy sell, but if you want to sell him, I'm not going to tell you not to. But then where do you go? Like Jokeres? No. Delap? No.
But the midfield is so important right now. I think that's become very clear that we're getting to a point now where the midfield of five slots are really tough.
Mm.
And having the extra budget in them is really important. If you want to have, like, if you're happy to go for the cheaper options in all the clubs, so you're happy to have a Rice, or you're happy to go for Enzo instead of Palmer, or you're happy to go for, and maybe there's no compromises here, by the way, this is just putting it out there, Semenya instead of Foden, then maybe you don't need the money out of Thiago. But if you want to go for a midfield that has both Bruno and Mbeumo, and probably has somebody like Rice, and potentially has a Semenyo, and like, you're going to have to make some compromises. And Thiago, for me, feels like the very easiest way to strip money.
You see, I don't agree that you have to make compromises. I think if you want Saka, Foden, Bruno, Mbeumo, and I don't know, somebody else. If you want five expensive ones, yeah, sure. But How many of us are looking at Rice and Semenya now rather than Saka and Foden? But a lot. And you're saving money doing that,
right?
You are. You're saving money.
Of course. But you're still going to have... So, realistically, you're going to have Gabriel and Timber, probably. Because if you're not going to have Gabriel and Timber, then you're going to have Saka and Rice. So, assume you've got Gabriel and Timber because it's the cheapest route with Rice. Assume you've probably got Enzo. Because if you're wildcarding with those Chelsea fixtures, you're going to have a Chelsea attacker. Maybe you want Chalaba in there as well. Probably got Semenyo sticking about. You definitely want Bruno. If you want to add Cunha in there as well, or an Mbomo in there as well, you are going to have to make some compromises. Now,
only if you want to go up from Thiago. And realistically, where would you go Thiago? Up? You'd only go to...
Because most people are going to find that they've got a Josh King or a Harry Wilson or somebody in the cheaper bracket in midfield.
Mm.
Who's your cheapest midfielder?
In the wild card or right now?
Right now.
Right now, Wilson.
So if
Potts.
Right. So if in order for you to maximise your midfield, unless you've got lots of money in the bank to get from Potts to Bruno, which you might have, most managers won't have lots of money to go from Potts or Josh King to Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, okay.
So for me, that's why taking him down to Dominic Calvert-Lewin made sense. Because it's a million.
Okay. I think it's easy to find the Calvert-Lewin to Thiago money. And I think he's a better option than Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But I think it's all horses for courses, isn't it? So Chelsea 2, Brentford 0. Let's move it on. João Pedro is being mentioned by the chat, by the way, as potential another one you can have a look at.
I do think there'll be a lot of rotated minutes with João Pedro because Liam Delap is favoured. Remember, Liam Delap was ill and didn't train for a bit. That's why I don't think he started.
Yeah, I think you could be right about that. Let's talk about Liverpool then. Liverpool 1, Burnley 1. Not a particularly good result for us. Not a particularly good performance. Dominated the possession, dominated the shots. I think I saw some stats about 32 different shots. Lots of chances, missed penalties, just not a particularly good result at all for Liverpool. But some of the positives that I take is that Florian Wirtz does seem to be finding his feet. And I did put something on Twitter about the fact that since Salah has gone to the African Cup of Nations, Wirtz has taken on this kind of like main character energy. Like, I feel like he's really stepped up. He's got some shit around him, right? Let's not beat around the bush. I'm slowly losing the will to live. No, I'm very quickly losing the will to live with Cody Gakpo. My God, that guy is so one-dimensional. Cut inside, cut inside, cut inside every time. There's so many... You watch the highlights. There's so many times when the defender's like, there you go. You go down the line. You know, where like Doku likes to play. You go down there, Cody. And he just won't. He just won't ever do it. And because he hasn't got Kerkez looping, like overlapping him every time, he's just so one-dimensional, Gakpo. He's getting on my nerves. But Wirtz is looking every bit the player that we were hoping he was going to be. Now, has he got space to improve? Of course he has. But he's stepping up and he's now adding goals and he's adding assists to his game as well. And he's finding a little bit of confidence. My fear is that when Mo comes back from the African Cup of Nations into Anfield, which I wasn't convinced that was going to happen, by the way. I thought we might sell him this window, and we might still. But when he comes back, which is going to be early next week, by the sounds of it, because Egypt are out.
Well, he played the third, fourth playoff, missed the pen yesterday.
Yes.
So I assume he flew back today.
He'll be back at some stage next week, right? Yeah. Whether he starts immediately in the Premier League, I don't know, because he wasn't even starting the Premier League when he was there before the
AFCON,
right?
Well, he should be back for your Champions League game in midweek.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, physically back. Whether he's actually back remains to be seen, but physically should be.
Sure. So does he come back and take some of that main character energy back from Wirtz?
Do we think he comes back and starts? Do we think all is forgiven? Because we had this weird moment, and there was a whole conversation about this in the Slack a couple of weeks ago. Should we, you know, people were talking about Salah, and I can't even remember how it came up. And I was like, have we all forgotten that he had a fight with Slot not 5 minutes before he went to AFCON? There was some sort of weird making up thing that happened in the prequel to the Brighton game, I think.
Don't can't remember.
Then he disappears off to AFCON. Nothing's changed, has it? From a Salah, Liverpool, Salah, Slot thing. Surely nothing's changed apart from maybe time.
Well, I think they maybe had a kiss and make up before he left. But what, you know, the one thing I'm learning about Slot, though, is that he doesn't give an F about man. Like,
he's not just going to let him stroll back in, is he?
He's not like some of the stuff he says. Like, you go right back to his first game in charge when he threw Quansah under the bus for not winning his second balls.
He just told him out.
You go back a couple of weeks ago where we got a young player, a young fullback, I think he plays, Calvin Ramsey. Been very unlucky with injury, but a promising young player. You know, could be good in the future. He's talking about the fact that he's not good enough for the first team at the minute, and that, you know, because we've got a lot of injuries, might be an opportunity for him, but at the minute he's nowhere near the level. It's just like, really, Slot? Are you going to say that? And then you sort of layer over the sort of the Salah stuff as well, and you just think, I don't know. There's a bit of a growing narrative in the Liverpool fan base against Arne Slot. I don't like it, but I can understand it. I'm starting to understand it. And now we hit the news about Alonso leaving Real Madrid. It's like that narrative,
he's coming to Spurs.
The anti-Slot narrative has just got even faster, right? So I'm intrigued to see what happens when Mo is thrown back into the mix when he comes back from the African Cup of Nations.
It does feel
I think he does go back in the team.
It feels like Liverpool is happier at the minute.
I don't know about happier. We haven't won now for four games. I mean, the other thing is that we're
lost.
Correct. So we are unbeaten in 12, is the first thing to say. But we now haven't won a Premier League game in the last four. We keep drawing. And games like Burnley at home, when you have 32 shots and when you have all the possession, you've got to be doing better, haven't you? Got to be doing better. So, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, Wirtz is great to have an FPL. If you've got Wirtz right now in FPL, that's great. I think you absolutely hold him for Bournemouth. And then because of the fixtures, which I'll just bring up here. Let's have a look at these fixtures for Liverpool. The fixtures after the Bournemouth game are Newcastle at home, Man City at home, Sunderland away, Forest away, West Ham at home. It's not bad. You can hold Wirtz through some of that stuff. The question for me is, what do you do with Ekitike if you've got him? Because he has massively underperformed. You know, go a few weeks back, and I think it was before the Wolves and Leeds two home games back-to-back, wasn't it? The whole of the FPL community was like, oh, got to get on some Liverpool. And most went to Ekitike. And most did it, like I did, because Bruno Fernandes got injured and you had the money to do Thiago to Ekitike. Mm-hmm. That has been a season-defining decision from my perspective. Like, properly, properly bad. Because not only has Ekitike been crap, well, been a bit injured as well, hasn't he? But not only has he not produced from an FPL perspective, in that period of time, Thiago has.
Yeah.
And the other player that you could have got instead is just could have done Bruno to Wirtz, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And that was the move a few weeks ago.
That's what I did.
Wirtz has done very, very well. So I think to hold on to him is fine. But if you've got Ekitike, I think he's probably got to go. Maybe hold him for Bournemouth. But after that, it's very difficult to hold on to him, I think.
But the problem is that we've just sat here for the last 37 minutes and talked about the forward line when we were having right back from the conversation with Thiago. And we've basically established that you can go Thiago, you can go Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or you go down to Kroupi and Mane. That's where we are. So I look at the Liverpool fixtures that you have coming up. It's Bournemouth next. We'll see how they perform tomorrow night. After that, it's Newcastle, who, despite a clean sheet today, did not impress me at all.
Mm. Different at home, though. Oh, no, but it's at Anfield, It's at Anfield. Yeah, you're right.
They don't travel well. Then it's Man City at home. Well,
yeah.
They're in poor form right now. After that, Sunderland. That's probably your hardest game coming up with the way that they play because it's away. Then it's Nottingham Forest, West Ham, Wolves before Spurs and Brighton again. Now, I look at these fixtures and I think, on paper, like if it's been last season, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Man City, that's really hard.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't hold. I think if I was wildcarding this week, I would sell Ekitike, but I'd buy Wirtz.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of the sacrifices when we get to my wildcard later on. It's one of the things that if I was to wildcard this week and not next, it's one of the things I'd be giving up. I'd be giving up Ekitike against Bournemouth. I'd be gaining Thiago against Forest.
What do you think?
But I'd be giving up Ekitike against Bournemouth.
Who have you got midweek? Leverkusen? Is it Leverkusen?
No, we're away in France, I think. I think it's Marseille, I think.
Oh, I think it is Marseille.
Yeah. Mm. So, there's nothing... There was nothing that excited me in that game, right? As much as I talk about Liverpool having all the possession and 32 shots, I don't remember us having that many big chances. I mean, Szoboszlai's penalty crashes against the bar, of course, right? That all contributes towards a reasonably high XG, that penalty.
Yes.
But when I think about, if a team has 32 shots, yet I'm looking at it and I don't remember like that many big chances. I remember there being lots of shots and lots of like half chances and lots of like Dubravka saves. You say 32 shots. Oh, Liverpool dominated. How did they not win this game? Well, not really, no. Well, not really. I'm not feeling it.
We were watching the... I was obviously at Spurs when this game was going on. And so I had notifications on SofaScore for the other games. And when it said that you'd missed a penalty, I was like, blimey. But the heat, the possession lines were very, very much Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's difficult. I mean, look, I'm enjoying Owen Verts at the minute. He has been he's been a bit of a blessing over the last few weeks. I am frustrated with myself, nonetheless, because I was very close to captaining him this week. I came very, very close to doing it. And in the end, I think I didn't do it. Well, I think there were a couple of reasons I didn't do it. I think the first one I didn't do it was partly because you were going Ekitike captain. And I was like, oh, maybe this is an opportunity for me to swing back against you with Haaland in a derby.
I would not be benchmarking your season against me.
Well, I've got to benchmark it against someone, and you're far enough ahead of me that you're a chaser. So that was part of it. And I think the other part of it was, honestly, I didn't expect Manchester United to be as good as they were. And I didn't expect Manchester City to be as bad as they were.
Yeah, all right.
I am frustrated with myself, though, because that's an 8-point swing over the captaincy on Haaland. And that would have made a massive difference to my week.
Totally. That's the sort of... I have no regrets taking on Haaland this week with Ekitike. And actually, when Haaland blanked...
Hope that kills you, though.
There was a bit of me that was just like, I deserve... This is bad, isn't it? I sort of feel like I deserved a few Ekitike points there. I'm just like, that. Even though he didn't create a lot, even though City weren't at it, it was still a difficult watch, watching them without Haaland captain. I still did not enjoy it.
No.
So having coming out of that game and he's blanked, I'm like, right, come on, Hugo. This is our opportunity. Burnley at home, for Christ's sake. And it just never played out that way. But such is this season. Let's do Sunderland 2, Palace 1 then. Very good performance by Sunderland. Palace taking the lead actually surprised me. But listen, I don't think you're buying any Palace now based on what's going on. The Sunderland fixtures look like this. They have West Ham coming up next, then Burnley at home. So it looks pretty good for the next two before they travel to Arsenal and then Liverpool go to the Stadium alight. So next two look pretty good. Even Liverpool at home isn't that bad a fixture, I don't think. Apart from that Arsenal fixture, it looks okay. It looks okay, doesn't it? So having your Mukielis and having your Alderetes, it's probably okay.
Well, this is why I went with Roofs and Dubravka, because in those 2 weeks when it's Liverpool and Arsenal for Roofs, it's West Ham and Crystal Palace for Dubravka. So my plan kind of was to go with those two, and they rotate quite nicely.
Yeah.
I think if you've got Alderete and Mukielele, you just stick with.
Mukielele I was very impressed with in this game.
Yeah, he got very the assist impressed. As well, didn't he, in this
he
one?
He is a top defender. I don't even know where they picked him up from, but sorry, Sunderland fans, but I'd sort of be surprised if he was there next season, because he does look the business.
He's
coming into the Premier League, the hardest league in the world, and he's doing it. He's doing the stuff.
I've been really impressed by Sunderland this season. I was actually very surprised to see Crystal Palace
score. From PSG, of course, Nick. Yeah, absolutely.
Very surprised to see Crystal Palace score in this one, to be honest, because, well, they're just terrible. With everything that was going on Friday, I was very confident in the Sunderland goalkeeper keeping a clean sheet. And then... You know, I think, sadly, over the next few weeks, Palace are going to be a team to target because...
Maybe.
I think they are going to be, Lee, because until that transfer window closes, I can only see them hemorrhaging players and managers, potentially.
Well, maybe my winning 10, right?
Yeah, at least until the end of January. Maybe at the end of January, if the window closes and they still have some half-decent players there, if Mateta hasn't left, if Ismail Assar comes back and is decent again, if they get a replacement for Gehi, if Daniel Munoz comes back and is available properly and doesn't re-injure himself and everything else,
yeah.
then maybe. But like, there was new after the Glasner stuff on Friday, the first press conference, you then get, oh, Mateta's going to talk to Juventus. You get the link of Daniel Munoz to Manchester United. Like, it feels like the whole, to be in that Palace bubble right now must be really challenging because you've got.
How do you feel if you're Brennan Johnson just turned up?
We said that in the stands on Saturday. I mean, it's not much better being at Spurs, to be fair. So he's probably out of the fire pan and into the fire. But if you're Brennan Johnson, I think you're looking at it going, what the hell have I walked into? Because he's gone there because of the manager.
Well, you know, I often get a lot of a feel about a club based on when I speak to mates of mine that I know that are fans of clubs, right? And I'm the same. Like, if anyone ever wants a really honest opinion of Liverpool, I'll give it to you. Don't worry. When we're good, I'll say we're good. And when we're crap, I'll say we're crap. And at the moment, we're crap. One of the dads in Max's football team. So Max plays in the same team as this lad and his dad is on the sideline, same as me. We're often there chatting away. He's a big football fan as well, but a big Palace fan, right? And he's a big Palace fan. And the way in which he was talking today was very downbeat, like properly like, what are we playing at? Like, what's going on? Glasner's probably going to leave. You know, the captain's gone. You know, all sorts going on. So I could tell if you get a vibe, don't you? Yeah, and the vibe I was getting from Andy today, my mate who's a Palace fan, was absolutely not good. Absolutely not good at all. And they got big problems.
They got big problems. And they definitely, for the foreseeable, feel like a team to target rather than invest in.
Okay. All right. Speaking of a team to target rather than invest in, Spurs 1, West Ham 2. I think I saw a stat on Saturday night about the fact that you'd won 4 of your last 25 home games. What, Sam from FPL Family, the hell is going on with your football team?
Do you know, I've been really supportive of Thomas Frank this season.
You have, absolutely.
And I've stuck up for him and I've said we need to give him time, and there's been a lot of issues, always. There's been a lot of injuries. He starts the season and he doesn't have Solanke, he doesn't have Madison. His son's just left.
Kulusevski's
been out for literally forever. And these are like, these just aren't like bit part players. These are like the heartbeat of our team. So you don't have the players that you want. Okay. So you're making do with players around the edges. And we go out and in the summer we sign Kudus. He's been fantastic, but now he's injured and he's out till the international break. So that's a problem. But going into the game, over the last few years under Ange, we've watched sometimes kamikaze, sometimes suicidal, but always interesting football, always attacking, always with a bit of fight and a bit of heart.
Yeah.
And honestly,
he's saying that Big Ange is better than Frank.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the problem is that we sat in the stands on Saturday and I'm watching them and I'm like, where's the guts? Where's the grit? Where's the, like, this is a West Ham team. Sorry if there's any West Ham fans listening. That have been appalling. Like,
I think the West Ham fans would agree with you. They'd be like, we had no expectations about Spurs.
They've been appalling. They don't have a defence. They've definitely been a team to target. They turned up and they had a proper go. Now, I'm not saying they were good, because they weren't really very good. It was a diabolical game. It was the worst game of football I think I've ever watched in that stadium. But the worst bit about it for me, and I came home and I ranted to you about it, didn't I? Right at the end of the game, just before, so we equalise, then for about 10 minutes, we're really up, and they're pushing.
Yeah.
And we really should have scored again. And Christian Romero has taken it upon himself to just play up front with Dom Solanke. Okay, fine. Because we're pushing to win the game. That's fine. But then we're knackered, so it slows down again. Because it's like all these people that are a bit like Palace that have been playing game after game after game because of all these injuries.
Yeah.
Slows down. Romero's done. He can't run properly. But the problem
just
is...
tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is, he's playing up front now. So West Ham break and they're running towards the goal. And he is walking. This is our centre-back and our captain. And he is walking away from the... And we are going... apoplectic at him. It's like,
get back.
Your job is to be the captain of this club and defend. Get back. Anyway, it goes out for a corner And he's on the halfway line by the time it goes out for the corner.
Still walking back.
And he's not even walking at this point. He's just standing on the centre spot. And we're all screaming at him. And
maybe the instruction is stay up there, though.
No, I don't think it is, because he's gone
for a corner, you want him back.
He's basically hoping it comes out and then he can run with it. But he's not Mickey van der Ven. Like, I'd almost understand it more if they left Mickey there for the break. So we're screaming at him. He sort of shrugs at us and then trots back.
He shrugs at the fans.
He sort of goes, all right then, as if to say, like, all right, if you think I should go back, I'll go back. So he sort of shrugs at us, runs back, but he sort of trots back. And he just about gets there before they take the corner, which then goes in. And we're all just like,
oh,
are you taking the piss really here?
That's not a good look. That's not the sort of stuff they show you on TV. That's good insight.
No, and I'm just sat there and I'm like, and honestly, and Evie just goes, can we go home now? And I was like, no, we're going to see it out. So we sit there and we watch it out. But before the goal is even conceded, the fans are singing, you're getting sacked in the morning. Not the West Ham fans, us. We're singing that.
Yeah. It doesn't take much for a Spurs fan to turn against a manager, does it? Let's be honest.
But the problem is that, and it was really interesting to say, because I've said for years, it's not Levy that was the problem. It's always been what's going on behind the scenes that's been the issue. And I still maintain that. And I think now it's become blatantly apparent that it's not been Levy that was the issue. It's still what's happening behind the scenes. In my mind...
Whose fault is it now then? Because for years and years and years, you're all about Levy. Now it's somebody else.
No, I've never said it was Levy's fault.
No, the fans then.
The fans say. I've always maintained that Levy is the puppet that was controlling what Enoch wanted behind the scenes.
Enoch had a problem now.
They've always been the problem. They've been the problem for years because they actually don't run a football club. They run a business, which is kind of what they're there for. And they've run a very, very successful business. Spurs is a very profitable club because we don't invest as much as we should be. The problem is that we leave these players. We don't have enough players because they're all injured. And then when we do go out and sign players that are replacements for these ones, we sign youngsters or we sign like Odubert and Tell, and they're not good enough. Like Odubert is genuinely, and I do feel like all I do is have a pop at him, but he is genuinely the worst Spurs player I've ever seen. He's so lightweight. He is appalling and he's got to play every bloody week because we don't have anyone else. And it's so infuriating because you see it coming. And then Ben Davis goes down and he's injured. There were some positives in this game. There were.
Right, okay.
Conor Gallagher.
Right, go for it.
Conor Gallagher came and he ran around and he actually looked interested and wanted to play football. It was great.
Okay.
He ran about. He made some good tackles. He was good.
Right.
I was pleased with him.
He's still got the newness in him then. He's still naive enough. He's still there for now.
Give him time. It'll get beaten out of him at some stage soon. Oh, Pedro Porro actually played all right. He was getting some good attacking runs in it. Van der Ven just lost his DEFCON, so that's pissed me off because that's 2 points gone.
Say again? Van der Ven's DEFCON? Well, he did get DEFCON.
He's got nine. He's lost those. That's really annoying.
Nick in the chat. A footballer running around. Bloody hell. Smiley face.
It's novel. It's novel at Spurs.
At Spurs, Nick. That's novel. That's a big deal, mate. That gets written down.
That's a big deal. Look, that's a big tick in his box. They'll have gone back in the dressing room afterwards and go, you ran around. Well done.
You ran.
For 90 minutes, you ran around a pitch. The others walk about.
Paying you 90 grand a week, but you know, well done for running around.
Honestly. But he ran around. It was nice. I think I am actually surprised that we didn't sack Frank last night. I honestly thought that by the time I got home, he'd have been sacked.
Right.
And then when he wasn't sacked, because we've got to play again on Tuesday night, I've got bloody Dortmund coming.
Yeah, easy game on Tuesday.
Easy game. I've got to go there again and sit there and watch
it again. You're going again?
Because I'm a glutton for punishment, Lee. I turn up, everyone else around me is going, I'm not coming. I'm like, you bought your ticket, I'm not coming.
So you went with our daughter to this game.
Yeah.
And when you and Evie come in home, I said...
I ranted and then she said,
She come in first... You were still locking the car up. She came in the door first. And I was like, all right, darling, how was it? And she was just like, the chips were good. I said, what about the football? She was like, yeah, the chips were good. And then you come in like 2 seconds out. Oh, bloody Frank, this bloody... And I'm just like, right, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm going somewhere else.
Honestly, we had a... And I'd like to say, like, honestly, it was awful. It was honestly awful. And that obviously we sit in the same seats every week with our season tickets. And we're just chatting to the people around us. And we're all just like, what the hell is happening here? We're being trolled by the West Ham fans. And it's like, they're like awful.
Who haven't won since bloody October or whatever.
Yeah, but we did this with Nottingham Forest. They couldn't win a game.
That's Dr. Tottenham, isn't it?
I feel like, honestly, we're like medicine for these clubs.
Dr. Tottenham.
It's man... Honestly, it's terrible.
Anyway, that's the Tottenham off your chest. I assume you're not picking any of them in FPL.
Well, I've got Mickey.
When are you selling Mickey van der Ven, no, for Christ's sake? Well, oh, my God. Sell him already.
No.
Have you got Mukiele?
No, because I've got Roofs. I don't want to.
It'd be much better having...
What I might do eventually is sell him for Chalobah. Eventually. However, okay. Right now, he's... When Gaye makes the move to City, surely I've got to start playing Gaye again. I can't just leave him on the bench. So Mickey will just have to go back on the bench, which is probably fine.
Right.
Honestly, I'm so delusional with my club at the moment.
Okay, and I assume we're not picking any West Ham either, because this was just a visit to Dr. Tottenham. They'll be back to being crap next week.
They were crap! They were crap!
Just you were worse.
They were dreadful. There was nothing good about them either. So no, it was the worst game of football I've ever watched.
Why have we discussed this game? From an FPL perspective.
Because people wanted to hear me rant, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I did as well. I liked it. I liked it.
There you go. I'm glad I brightened everyone's day.
Last couple of games, Forest 0, Arsenal 0.
Was it a penalty, Lee?
Wait, what?
The handball?
No, please. Come on. What is the game's gone if that's a penalty?
He does handball it.
Bloody Arsenal fans want a penalty for that. Come off it, please. Come off it. No, it wasn't. It's a joke. I give props to Forest here. I thought they played really, really well.
I did too.
And I thought they defended really well. And actually, when that incident happened and the bloody purple screen of death come up, didn't it, with VAR,
yeah.
I just thought, if you jammy gooners get a penalty here and win this game with that, after basically having, you know, having been given a bloody good game by Forest there, that would have been, I'd have said, right, well, get the bloody, not the pen, but get the thing out that carves the name in the trophy and put Arsenal on it right then. Because if they'd have got it from that, then...
Just nobody wants to win the bloody league this year. Everyone's dropped points.
Well, I think, you know, Arsenal probably end up winning it, won't they? But anyway, again, another tale of woe from my game week. Saka starts on the bench for this one.
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
Well, I felt great about it, didn't I? Especially since earlier in the day, O'Reilly had started on the bench and come on for a minus one. I'm just like, hey, do you know what? When I put my team together for this week, I remember saying to you, I'm probably a bit light this week because I had Giyu and Potts anyway.
We spent the whole time on Ohana talking about how maybe you needed a transfer.
Yeah, and then Gaye wasn't going to play, obviously. I was just like, cool, I've got nothing on the bench. And then the team sheets come out, no bloody O'Reilly. So that's the first one, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember telling you about that. You got back from football training with Max on Saturday when I went, by the way, Nico O'Reilly's not playing.
Yeah, and then when he come on, you were like, he's come on. I was like, oh, good, at least he'll get one. And 2 minutes later, he went, been booked. I was like, shut up! God, bloody O'Reilly. And then this game turns up, Saka's benched. It's one of them game weeks where it's not gone for me at all. Particularly when I was brave, right? Deserved some points for the Hugo captaincy. Didn't get that either, did I?
No one got any captain points this week unless they went for Verts.
I don't know whether Saka gets one more week for me or not, George. I know you're asking in the chat. I don't know. If I wildcard this week, probably not, mate. Probably would just do the Rice move because it's happening at some stage anyway.
One thing I will say. As a person that's now done the... So I did the Saka to Rice thing on Wildcard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it might make me feel better.
Yeah.
And so I was obviously driving home in my misery from the Spurs game when this game started.
Could you tell Sam was in a foul mood after that Spurs game?
So, yeah. So on the way home, Evie's like, Mum, can I play on your phone? So I was like, yeah, sure. So she's playing on my phone. And I'm like, oh, is this good? It means I can listen to the Forest game because... She doesn't want
the capital one, yeah.
It's great. So I'm listening to this Arsenal game and I'm like, Evie, can you do me a favour? Can you go on SofaScore? She's like, yeah. She's going on there. She's like, what am I looking for? I was like, I want you to find where it says Forest and Arsenal and just tell me is Saka starting because I have not heard his name for 20 minutes.
Right.
And she's looking and she's like, I can't see anyone called Saka. She's like, I'm like the most useless person to ask as well, bless her. And I was like, I couldn't.
She doesn't know anybody other than Archie Gray, does she?
Oh, she's obsessed. She loves Archie Gray. She wants to marry him. She calls herself. She said to me, because he started, she went, "Mummy."
She's 10, by the way.
She's
folks.
10. She's 10. She tells me every day, he's only 9 years older than me, Mummy. It'll be okay if I marry him. And she goes, and then I'd be Evie Gray. I'd be Mrs. Evie Gray. And I was like, okay, then. She's like, he'll be your son-in-law one day. I was like, okay, lovely.
God.
Anyway, and then she says, if he is too old, I could always go for his younger brother, Harry.
Sure.
Are you sure, Evie?
Sure.
Anyway, the point of this story is, I felt when I knew I was worried about not having Saka.
Yeah.
So all the weeks before, I've been worried about not having Rice.
Yeah.
Now I've flipped the narrative. Now I'm still worried about.
Always worry about who you haven't got. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I think I hoped that by getting Rice, it would deal with some of my anxieties around Arsenal.
He could have scored this game, Rice.
I know he could.
He could have had points again.
I know.
I was worried not having him, I'll be honest, going through this game. For me, Rice over Saka, unless you've got them both, in which case you're worried about not having double defence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've only got one, you're always worried about the other one playing. Whichever three Arsenal you've got, and I think it is still fair to say three Arsenal is the right way forward.
It's the right thing, yeah, I agree.
So regardless of which three you got, you're always worried about the thing you haven't got, right? So you just have to make peace with that. So if I'm going to go into every Arsenal game, despite having three FPL players, with a level of anxiety about what I haven't got, why don't I just get the cheapest?
Well, that's what I decided.
And the thing with it is that Saka to Rice unlocks a lot.
I agree.
It unlocks, for me, the Bruno pick.
Mm. But and I said, we sat on the fantasy show, Az and I. Oh, what a lovely Friday I had, by the way. It's the first time Az and I have ever done a fantasy show together. But we sat on the sofa and we did a whole segment on Rice versus Saka. And we had a load of stats about them. And it's basically the same. Everything's the same. Except for the XG, which is significantly better for Saka, underlying. And so I said to them at the time, this is all well and good. They're the same. Great. Just take a pick then. Except they're not the same because there's 3 million difference in price.
Mm.
And so you can't make a decent comparison between the two of them because in order to do it, you have to judge them on the points that they earn per million that you spend on them.
Like, so Runner Bean in the chat. Yeah, thank you, mate. Look, you're saying you're acting as though Saka isn't going to do anything for the rest of the season. Mate, that is not what we're saying.
No,
you've missed the point. That's not what we're saying at all. In fact,
the opposite
I fully expect him to do
that's
things.
Why I'm worried about not having Saka.
Right, absolutely. But also,
the opposite.
I worry because I've got Gabriel, Timber and Saka right now and I'm worried about what Rice is going to do.
Yeah.
Now, if you go, okay, well, I'll have Saka and Rice then you're worried about them keeping a clean sheet.
I agree.
Only going to have Gabriel probably.
Yeah.
So whatever, you're going in, you're going to miss out on something.
Whoever
Arsenal,
you don't
somewhere.
Have, you worry about.
We're absolutely not saying Saka's not going to do anything for the rest of the season. We know it's going to hurt. But what I'm saying is it's already hurting not having Rice. So choose your pain. Which pain do you want? Well, I'll have the cheaper pain, please.
Well, I'll have the cheaper pain because it means I can have the better option from another club. So it means by having Rice, I can have Bruno. And if I can have Bruno, Rice and Enzo, that feels like a better position to be in than, say, having Saka, Enzo and then maybe I'm at Ahmad levels if I'm at Manchester United in comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think I'm even at Mbomo levels. Do you know what I mean? That's what we're saying. We're not saying Saka will score. Saka will assist. Saka will get plenty of points between now and the end of the season. The gamble, and it's not pleasant. When he came on, I was like, I don't want to watch. And I'll be like that for the rest of the season if I don't get him back in.
Mm.
But
okay,
it's tough. It's 50-50, but the money for me swings it.
Okay. Joseph Maloney is saying, should we be looking at Forest defence soon, Sam?
They're just not consistent, Joseph. That's the problem. That like
they got the right manager in there to get a bit of consistency, haven't they? I mean, Dyche, that's what he'll do.
What's Nico Williams saying? It's not having the best time under Dyche, is he? He's not enjoying it. What did he say?
Oh, come on, please. Yeah.
But I think that's the point, isn't it? Is that like Nottingham Forest, they pull out a good result against Spurs. I mean, to be fair, everyone does. West Ham do. But then they put out a great result against Arsenal. But then in between that, they've had some shockers. And that's the problem with them is that, you know, the Murillos, the Ainers, they could be fantastic assets for us. They were last season. But I don't trust them at the minute.
All right. I think they're decent at home. I mean, that Palace game at home in 24 looks all right to me. That looks all right. And then they've got, let's see the Forest fixtures. It's Brentford away next, Palace at home, Leeds away, Wolves at home, and then Liverpool at home.
How many clean sheets do you think there are?
Palace, Wolves at home, Liverpool at home.
They don't keep
Sam,
a clean sheet against
crap.
Have you seen Florian Wirtz?
I have seen Florian Wirtz.
He's good.
He is good. He's looking good.
I don't think they'll keep one against Palace either because they're annoying and score a goal here or there.
All right, okay. Let's move on. Our last couple of games, Wolves 0, Newcastle 0. I don't think there's much to discuss there other than if you've got Malik Chow. Well done. I think he got nine points from that game, so very good indeed. But I do want to talk about Villa 0, Everton 1. Aston Villa, who haven't lost for a very long time, finally do come a cropper at home to Everton. I thought the game changed when John McGinn went off injured. Because I noticed, and I think I said this to you a few weeks ago, I think Ollie Watkins come on. Didn't he come on against Chelsea and get like two goals and turn the game around?
Yeah, on his birthday.
On his birthday, that's right. And all the narrative was about, wow, Watkins has changed that game. And he did. I'm not going to take anything away from Ollie Watkins. But Emery made a double or maybe even a treble substitution at the time and Watkins come onto the pitch. And one of them was Onana to come on as well. He, for me, is the one that changed the game for them that day. And I noticed that he wasn't playing today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that position is so important for the way that Aston Villa play their system.
Mm.
That when Onana plays, it works. And when he doesn't play, it works well enough with John McGinn there doing the job instead.
Yeah.
So when John McGinn goes off, which we've got to wait and see, but it looks like a nasty one for him, by the way. It looks like a knee. Doesn't look like it's a one-weeker for John McGinn.
No.
When neither Onana or McGinn are there, notice they brought on Guesson. They brought on Guesson, didn't they?
Who actually was all right attacking-wise.
Yes, but correct attacking-wise.
Yeah.
So what happens is that position where Onana and John McGinn are usually are, it's like, well, Tielemans all of a sudden hasn't quite got his insurance policy there, has he?
No.
Morgan Rodgers hasn't quite got his insurance policy there. Them two in particular know that when Onana's there, we just go and do our thing.
Yes.
And when John McGinn's there, we can still go and do our thing. We just might look back every now and again and make sure he's doing all right. But we can pretty confident to go and do our thing. When neither of those two are there, those two are a bit... The transitions through midfield are different. I'm just saying Villa are a different team when one of those two players is not playing in that position. And I think it showed here. Don't get me wrong. They could have got something out of this game, no doubt, because they're on form and it's at home. And a Pickford worldy save off of Rodgers, for example, right? Oh, Rodgers, as you said at the beginning of the pod, points dodging extraordinaire in this game. No doubt about it. But Villa didn't look the same without that player in there.
They didn't. And I just picked up my phone to check when Onana is back, because Onana's missed the last three games through injury.
Mm.
The game has him expected back next weekend for the right. Newcastle game. So if he's back next weekend for the Newcastle game...
Got to keep him fit, though.
Well, they will have to
loves a knock, doesn't he?
They will have to be careful, particularly if John McGinn's out for a while, because they will have to be careful. It's Newcastle away. Newcastle are better away from home, at home than anything
James's,
else.
Yeah.
Before Brentford. So, you know, it's mixed for Villa. I cannot fathom how I've not got points out of Morgan Rodgers.
He should have had points today, Rodgers.
I can't fathom it.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the last 20 minutes, he probably could have had three goals. It was unbelievable points dodging from him.
Yeah. What do you make of the... So Nick is in the chat talking about the Marlon selling. Just very quickly, what do you make of that? I thought that was an interesting one because it leaves him a little bit...
Sure.
You know, if Watkins was to get a knock, which, let's be honest, wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world because he doesn't mind a knock, does he, as well, Ollie Watkins? So... Leaves him a bit short up front as well, doesn't it? Yeah, I know Guessing can play in that sort of ish position, but not an out striker.
The whole Villa front line thing is quite frankly difficult to understand because remember back to the beginning of the season, he wasn't playing Watkins, was he?
Oh, Nicole's just said Marlon scored today on his debut, by the way.
Did he?
I didn't see
they
that.
They kept benching him at the beginning of the season and then he's fought his way back into the team. And to be fair, he's been in a reasonable ish form of Ollie Watkins. I still don't think he's worth it in FPL by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been in reasonable ish form. They have to go and sign someone, don't they? But they did this last time with. Who did they sell last year? Who's the other forward they had? They sold him to Saudi.
Oh, John Duran, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, John Duran.
Yeah.
They did the same thing again with him, and then they just went the season with Ollie Watkins, and they seem to get away with it, but.
Being linked with Tammy Abraham and stuff, aren't they? But I'm not panicking on Rodgers. On another day, he could absolutely have had points this week.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to James Garner, by the way, from Everton. And I know there's a few of you out there in FPL that have got James Garner.
He won't lose his DEFCON.
Well, 29 he finished on, Sam. 29 DEFCON, which I was looking at Tom Hadley and a few other people on. So Tom Hadley's like the GOAT on Twitter like DEFCONs, right? If you're not following Tom Hadley on Twitter, you've got to go and do that. So Tom Hadley was tweeting about the fact that that's the best this season, right? The best. I think Weefer, I think from Brighton, I think is one. Is that he's got 25? 27 or 28?
No, 25.
Don't know. He's close. I think he's close. Anyway, Garner's the best, and then. Somebody else tweeted, actually, since records began and they started tracking DEFCONs 10 years ago, that's the most anyone has ever had in a game in 10 years. James Garner. 29 DEFCONs. I mean, round of applause for James Garner.
It shows you how attacking Villa were.
Well, so there's two things. So one is, well done, James Garner, because that is a man of the match performance. Could have got sent off. Probably should have been sent off.
Probably should have been sent
off. Because the foul on Rodgers is two hands.
It should have been sent
off. And that, for me, is a second yellow. I think I would have sent him off. But nevertheless, he stays on the pitch and more or less wins in the game with his 29 DEFCON. So, Everton assets, defensively. Are you cheating? Are you looking at anyone there?
No, so I didn't go with one on wildcard because genuinely I did not think they'd keep a clean sheet in this one. I did not expect them to go to Villa Park and keep a clean sheet. And Michael Keane was out, and I thought that would weaken them. And then when I looked at their fixture run, I didn't like it as much as I liked some of the other defensive opportunities. And I think that's the thing. Like, I knew with Tarko, he was probably the miss because he was always likely to get DEFCON. So he's always going to pick up the 4 points pretty much. But my issue was with him. He's expensive. And if I'm going to buy another expensive defender, I want them to be like, regularly keeping a clean sheet, not just regularly picking up the DEFCON.
Leeds at home next, and then Brighton away, Fulham away, but they're better away from home, Everton. They're great away from home.
Well, that's true, but I also think that these, like, on paper, yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? For goals, but does it sound great for clean sheets? Like, Leeds score, Brighton score, Fulham score, like, these teams, they've not been shy in front of goals so far this season.
So no.
I would not surprise me to see a lack of clean sheets from Everton over the coming weeks. Having said all of that, they've kept one today against an Aston Villa side. Now, it was, I've said this already about somebody else, but their goal did leave it was charmed today. Yeah.
The one thing I say about Tarko, though, and one of the reasons I want to keep him, we'll talk about my wildcard in a second, but I had him this week. I was pleased with his points. He saved my game week, really. Saved it from being embarrassing. Well, yes and no, because yeah, I obviously knew Gay he wasn't going to play.
So why did you do that?
Well, in case Gay he played, but I knew he wasn't going to, really. So it's fine. So I knew I was going to get the Tarko points. So I was happy, obviously, to get them. With those fixtures as well, he's a DEFCON monster. Like, he'll start most of the... So those games coming up look pretty good. There are some clean sheets in there. But he'll start most of them on four, I think, Tarko. He will get DEFCON a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. In most of those games, I think he'll get four. I don't think there's clean sheets. So the thing that you have to consider, I think, on a wild card with an Everton defender is four enough for his price point? Or do you want to chase the upside of some of the fixtures for other players who regularly get DEFCON? Which is why, for example, on my wild card, and we're yet to see him play this week, so God only knows if I've done the right thing with him, but I went back to Senesi because, like Tarko, he also regularly starts on four, and the fixtures for Bournemouth are nicer in terms of the potential clean sheets.
Yeah. Anything from an attacking perspective from Everton?
No.
Over those? Well, listen, he took his goal well, Barry, I thought today. Very, very well indeed. We're just saying we haven't got any forward options.
But you haven't got one there because... Sometimes Barry starts, sometimes Beto starts. They never finish a game. They always rotate with each other. There's no way you can go for one or the other.
Ndai coming back from AFCON?
But then he's a midfielder.
I'm not selling it to you. You're not having it here. All right, that is the game, Sam. Those are the games. Let's talk about our scores this game week. Let's quickly get mine out of the way. 31 with Verbruggen to play. Really crap game week, to be honest with you. Look at that midfield and forward line. So
you will actually have 32. Because Gabriel has just been given an additional bonus point.
Yippee. Okay, great. So there's 32. Woohoo. So rank's gone down. I'm down into sort of 900-odd-K. Unless I need Verbruggen to get a hat-trick of penalty saves or something tomorrow. Obviously, Tarkowski coming on with the 8 for Gehi is basically saving it from being a complete car crash. I mean, without that, it properly is crap, isn't it? Properly is crap.
Just the Arsenal defence, isn't it?
Just the Arsenal defence. And even then, Timber got booked, right? So it's really only Gabriel, apart from that. I really am at a point of the season now where I'm like, almost swore there, but I'm like properly just like, fuck it now. Like, I honestly, like, that weekend, when I've gone Hugo Ekitike captain, as you guys can see, Haaland blanks, and I'm like, right, my captain is at home to Burnley. What can possibly go wrong here? This is the moment, Lee. You've been brave. You've gone against the crowd. Everyone else was Captain Haaland. And you've got the cojones to go for Ekitike home and not go with Haaland. Well done, Lee. You've got that call right. Brilliant. Two-pointer, Hugo. Two-pointer. What a joke. Saka benched. O'Reilly benched. Comes on for a minus one. Timber booked. Wilson, shit. Rodgers, points dodging. Oh, God. It's just... This season is just grinding me down into something that is just, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just crap at FPL now or what, but 900k is utter, utter shit. And unless Verbruggen does something tomorrow night, it's going to be another big red arrow. I got four transfers in the bank. I've got a little bit of money. The wild card is going to get ploughed. I've almost certainly this week or next. Something's got to change, Sam. Something's got to change. I can't accept 900k. It's just a disaster. I'd rather, between now and the end of the season, have a go at it and do some stuff like Ekitike captain and go against things and end up at 1.5 million. I don't care if I end up at 900k or 1.5 million. Both are utter shit. So I don't care. So I'd rather have a go at it and try and aim for something semi-respectable. But 900k is so bad, it will be my worst rank in FPL by a massive margin. Massive, massive margin. Now, it can improve. I know we've got chips, etc., etc., but then so's everyone else. It has been a difficult season. All of that narrative, yeah, I got it. But still, it's got to change. I thought the Hugo captain this week was going to do it for me. I thought that was going to take me a step in the right direction. As it is, it hasn't done it. So anyway, crap game week, crap season. Something's got to change. This is my bus team for next week. I like the fact that you've put Chelsea home / Wolves home against Gehi. That's not, it's not a double game week. That is,
I don't know what he's going to do. So he's either got Chelsea or he's got Wolves.
Yeah, you've done it the right way, I think. So I look at my team again on paper. Look at this team, right? I've got Timber and Gabriel. Well, I've got my three Arsenal there. Right? I'm always going to play those three Arsenal.
Yeah.
Foden at home to Wolves with Haaland and potentially O'Reilly and Gehi. Potentially there's four Man City players there. Tarko at home to Leeds, fine. Even Dubravka at home to Spurs, I'm sorry to tell you. I'm fine with that as well. Rodgers away at Newcastle, difficult looking fixture. Wilson at home to Brighton. Ekitike with that Bournemouth fixture. That is not a team that needs wildcarding. It's not, is it? That is a team I could roll out next week without any issue.
So why don't you?
I don't know.
Have you just had enough?
Yeah, I have. I've had enough of this silly little game. Let's all stop playing it.
And that's not an unreasonable reason to play a wild card.
I know.
That's sort of why I did it.
I know.
But my team didn't look like that. My team did look utter guff.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see. So if Foden's broken his hand and he's out for a bit and can't play, then I want to sell him to Semenyo.
Okay.
And then if I'm going to do that, I want to sell O'Reilly as well because he's not guaranteed to start anymore either. So it's like, well, there's a couple of transfers that I was going to do anyway. So why waste my transfer? Why not just wildcard? Just get it done. I don't know. I'm too emotional to think about wildcard tonight. Anyway. I definitely won't be hitting the button tonight. Don't come at me with Bruno's gone up in price or any of this crap. I don't care. I'm too emotional about FPL tonight to go and press the wildcard button. I will be sleeping on it and I'll have a look again tomorrow after Bart Verbruggen saved three penalties. But that said, I've put together a wildcard draft. We'll talk about that in a second. Your week, 45. Much better. Talk us through it. Hopefully with less expletives than I've just used.
Well, it's actually not. It's now 44 because Gabriel got an extra one and Van de Ven lost his two. Fucking ridiculous.
Stop with the language, please. It's enough of that.
Oh, please. Pot, kettle, black. Anyway, Van de Ven's on 9. Let's take a positive. I am going to spend the next 24 hours watching that match and sending Opta pictures of Mickey Van de Ven's 10 defensive contributions so that we get them back again.
Give me my 2 points back.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. That will be happening. I will be emailing Opta. I don't even know the name of the person to email at Opta, but I'll just spam every Opta.
Just spam all the Optas.
Every Opta staff I can find.
All the Optas.
Until we get it back again. That's my rant over.
Okay.
Gabriel and Timber, I'm sort of happy with them. As previously mentioned, Raya would have been better. Never mind. Enzo, I'm happy with that. That's a good pick in the end. That was the pick I was a bit worried about because it meant I wasn't getting Harry Wilson. It meant I wasn't getting Bruno Guimarães. I did not enjoy watching Newcastle today. Because of the Guimarães thing, if they was away from home, I wasn't expecting to do much. But nonetheless, so disappointed with the Man City assets. But then again, they're the two most popular players in the game. It's not making a massive amount of difference to Menu and Haaland anyway. Rodgers is the one. It's just like because he's not lowly owned, but at 30%, he still will make a difference.
Yeah,
that's still a difference maker. And for him, he could easily have had a double digit here and then you're in good form. I'd have been better off playing Dubravka Wirtz is good. That's the mistake. That is the mistake.
Captain Wirtz this week, and then it's a different story.
Yeah, and I undernod, and I kept moving it backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards.
I told you to do it on Ohana, didn't I? Do Wirtz captain.
You told me to do it, but then the next day you said, oh, let's not both captain a Liverpool player. And I was like, oh, and then you were doing it, and then I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then I was like, oh, maybe if it's the Manchester derby, surely Haaland's going to be good. He's got this fantastic record against them. And then he was crap. And then actually, Saturday's tired. Football was just absolutely shocking. But in the end, it is a really nice green arrow, and it feels like big progress. It's taken like, that's like 400k off of my rank.
Yeah, good.
Very happy about that. Good. That is big progress. I just now need to do that for another 19 weeks or so.
Fine, no problem.
Not that long. Like 15 weeks. If I could take 400k off every week, I'll win it.
Yeah.
You know, let's be positive. And if Spurs sack the manager, then we might win the league.
Yeah. Great comment from Steve Corcoran in the chat. Thank you, Steve. Could be worse league. Could have an assistant manager to play. Don't even go there, Steve. Don't even go there. Talk to me about your team for next week, Sam.
You'll notice I have changed nothing.
Nothing has changed. Well, you've just wildcarded. It should be fine, right?
That is why. But I haven't even changed the formation.
You're playing
Krupa
Jr. against us.
No, I'm not doing that. So unless he goes off tomorrow, I'm expecting Bournemouth to sign somebody. Depending upon what happens with Gehi, I will almost certainly play Gehi over Van de Ven.
Okay.
However, just like, who knows where Mark Gehi? Where is Mark Gehi?
Well, it'll be a Man City player at some stage, really, tomorrow or next day, and then it'll play.
I assume so.
He will. It's just going to happen, yeah.
So I will play him probably against Wolves rather than playing Van de Ven against Burnley, because Burnley do have an annoying habit of scoring, and I would not be surprised if we lost to Burnley.
I wouldn't either, to be honest with you.
So unless we've sacked Frank, if we sack Frank...
All bets are off.
All bets are off. The problem is, Lee, we don't have Ryan Mason. We can just wheel out the wardrobe anymore.
No, true enough. Mm. All right, well, that's the team. Let's have a look at this possible wild card that I've put together then, and what it might look like for this week.
You'll have to read this to me because I can't see it.
Yeah, so for the podcasters, I appreciate... Sorry, podcasters, we probably should have read our teams out. But from my... Certainly in my team, there's nothing to shout about, and yours is not that much more. But this wild card that I've pulled together then, so I wouldn't be changing anything in goal. Dubravka and Verbruggen, just fine. We'll stay with that. Not a hell of a lot of change at the back either. Gabriel, Timber, Gehi, assuming Man City Gehi, Chalobah, and then Goodmanson at the back. In midfield, it'd be Rice, Semenyo, Rogers, Enzo, and Bruno Fernandes, and then Haaland, Thiago, and Krupa Jr. up front. So I've tried to... The bit of narrative you can see if you're watching this on YouTube on the right-hand side there, I've tried to talk about what sacrifices I've got to make here. Where do I consider the downgrades to be? And certainly from a price perspective... These are downgrades, because one of the big things that it allows me to do, as you can see there in the middle, there is Potts. A lot of this wild card is, how do I get from Potts to Bruno Fernandes? Right? Bonkers in any given game week. Potts to Bruno Fernandes. Nonsense. But the way that I would do that is I'd make the following sacrifices. So I've currently got Saka and I'd move it to Rice. We've had that conversation already.
Yeah,
right?
That's fine.
It's just you're choosing your pain. Yeah, there, right?
Choose your pain.
Foden to Semenyo. Right now, doesn't feel like a downgrade.
I don't think there's any pain.
4 or 5 weeks ago, that would have felt like a bit of a downgrade.
Would it?
Well, Foden was banging him in, wasn't he? But now he's not. He's broken his hand, and Semenyo's coming in, and Pep's talking about how he needs to take the goal burden off of Haaland. So Semenyo would be in there then. Plus, he's 40% owned. That is 44. That is a path to pain, Semenyo.
Oh, it's a big path to pain.
And if he, you know, and I know that, you know, he didn't have much of a sniff against United. Manchester United played very well. But if Semenyo continues to hit the ground running for Manchester City and you haven't got him and he's at 40%, you're in big trouble.
I totally agree.
So,
I got him.
If anything, that is a bit of a hedge from my perspective. So Saka to Rice, one sacrifice. Foden to Semenyo is sacrifice number two. Sacrifice number three, Ekitike to Thiago.
Can I say something?
Mm.
You spent all week last week telling me that my wild card wasn't differential enough. It wasn't brave enough. It wasn't going to move the dial enough.
Sure.
What the hell is this? It's basically the same as mine. So how is it going to make it? If you're telling me, I spent all week last week telling you that mine could, are you now saying that I was right and that this team can move the dial enough?
No, probably not. But I'll be making educated guesses with the captaincy as how I'm going to make my moves over the next few weeks. That's, I think, I'm going to make a difference with this team, is I'm going to have more captaincy options. I'll be captaining Bruno Fernandes over Haaland.
Well, I think everyone's going to do that in the coming weeks with Bruno.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So anyway, let me talk through the rest of it. So Ekitike to Thiago is another sacrifice. And then O'Reilly to Goodmanson. So that all of those things together give me more than enough money to do Potts to Bruno Fernandes. It would also enable me, if I wanted to, do Wilson to Enzo. Right? I'm not that upset with Harry Wilson. So he might stay. But Wilson, it would allow me Wilson to Enzo as well. I would also then do a couple of things just to, like, I'd sort out Giyu, right? I'd do Giyu to Krupe Jr. That's a thing you can just fix on your wild card. And then I also, because I was putting this together during the Aston Villa game, I would invest in the Chelsea defence by doing Tarko to Chalobah. But actually, the way that Everton have played today and the fact that Tarko starts every game on four, maybe I keep Tarko, right? So there's a couple in there that I might not do. Wilson to Enzo, I might not do. Tarko to Chalobah, I might not do.
2, 4, 6. So that's 8 changes. So if you didn't do 2 of them, it's only 6 changes.
Mm.
We got 4 free transfers.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I mean, listen, Saka to Rice, as we said before, it's a choose your pain. It's Manchester United at home next game. So Saka's just had a rest. Is that foolish to do Saka to Rice? Might be. Foden to Semenyo. That's a move I'd like to make, particularly if he's broken his hand and he's out of that game. Right, it's Wolves at home. That's the game you want him for, right?
Yeah.
So if he's broken his hand and he's out, I will make that move come what may, whether it's free transfer or otherwise. Ekitike to Thiago. Oh, I don't have to make that this week. He's got Bournemouth away. That's fine. I fancy Thiago at home to Forest as well, but Ekitike at Bournemouth, that's fine, I think. O'Reilly to Goodmanson. Whatever, it's fine. The one thing I will say is that if I'd like to know whether Foden's broken his hand before Gahey becomes a Man City player. Because if they change Gahey to Man City in the game, I am not going to be able to do Foden to Semenyo, am I? I'm going to have to do Foden to a non-Man City player. Because I can't have 4 Man City players.
Well, you'd have to do 2 free transfers and take out O'Reilly at the same time.
Well, no, I don't think so. So if I've got Haaland, Foden, Gahey and O'Reilly and they're all Manchester City players...
Yes. You could go Foden to Semenyo, but the game would at the same time make you do O'Reilly to a non-Man City.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but if I just wanted to make one transfer...
No, you wouldn't be able to.
I couldn't do it, yeah. You'd have to manufacture your team so there's 3 Man City players.
But you wouldn't want Gahey and O'Reilly at Man City defence.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But my point is, I'd like to know about Foden's fitness in his hand before they update...
When's the Champions League game?
I don't know, but you get my point, right?
I do get your point,
You get your point.
I'm just asking
So, Ekitike to Thiago. Don't have to do that this week. And then O'Reilly to Goodmanson, whatever. Potts to Bruno Fernandes. Doesn't have to be this week.
You got a chance with that because Man City they play early on Tuesday. So there's a chance that you get that news
good.
First.
Okay, thanks. Potts to Bruno Fernandes. Don't have to do that this week because it's Arsenal. Wilson to Enzo. Don't mind it, but whatever. Giyu to Krupe. Don't care. Tarko to Chalobah. Don't have to do it because Tarko's got Leeds at home.
If you don't care when you don't have to do it, why are you doing this?
Well, that's that correct. That's why I was putting this together. And this has helped me to get my thoughts together a little bit. Certainly, as I was going through this game week, I was like, that's it. I've had enough of FPL. I'm definitely wildcarding this week. Got to make all these changes immediately. But I think by putting this together and talking it through and then maybe sleeping on it tonight, there's a chance I just do Foden to Semenyo. There's a chance I just do that move. And I do it sooner rather than later so that I can have 4 City for the Wolves game.
I just do Foden to Semenyo anyway because the chances are that if you do Foden to Semenyo, one, Semenyo's definitely playing against Wolves. Definitely, because he can't play Champions League. Mm. Fine. Even if Foden plays against Wolves, I'd rather have Semenyo.
Yeah, I think that's probably the move, isn't it? Just do that.
So do that.
And the rest can wait for the wild card. Yeah, probably.
And then if you get news that all these other stuff's gone off and suddenly... Ekitike gets injured in the Champions League on Wednesday. I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying if he did, then you play the wild card then.
Yeah, that's probably the right thing to do.
You've got 4 transfers and you'd get one of them back if you hit the wild card and you'd already used it. So I don't see there's no possible problem with doing that.
Yeah.
The only thing it doesn't give you is Bruno for this week, but it's Arsenal and you've got the double Arsenal defence.
Yeah, miss out on a couple of price rises there on Bruno, but I think you just have to suck that up, wouldn't you? You'd have to suck it up.
I don't know how many he'll rise this week.
I think the United fans will jump on him, won't they? Even if the fixture's difficult.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it. That is the wild card that I would have a look at. And yeah, I think having kind of talked it through and put it together, I still feel like game week 24, as per the plan. I mean, that's always the plan, was 24, right? Bringing it forward a week.
I don't think it makes much sense.
Well, one of the big reasons it makes sense is that you do a lot of those changes this week.
Catch the prices.
You catch the price rises, but you also then have the four transfers coming out the wild card, right?
But I genuinely think with your team for next week, you could literally make one transfer.
Well, look, yeah. And also, I'm like, Saka out when he's just had a rest.
Yeah.
That's asking for trouble, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you could make one transfer, phone to Semenyo. Go into next week, you'd still have four transfers then going into the next round.
Yeah.
And you'd wildcard, so you'd still have four transfers coming out of your wildcard. Nothing's different.
Yeah.
It's only different if you make multiple transfers this week.
I think, as you can probably all tell, I'm just getting the ump with this game too much now, to be honest with you. And it's like, well, maybe it was just a knee-jerk reaction to be like, oh, bring the wildcard early, bring it forward. And I haven't ruled it out. But I think after talking it through here tonight and having a look at it in the cold light of day, I think 24 is still probably right. It's still probably right. But let me know. Let us know in the comments if you think 23 is the right game week. If you think coming up to this game week and playing a wild card this week is the right thing to do, whether it be for me or for you and your teams, let us know. Not getting any easier, this is it. Not getting any easier. 900k is just crap. It's not where I want to be at all. At all. And I don't feel like my team is set up to move in the right direction. But I think we've got to look in the longer term. There's plenty of football still to be played. And you never know. Mark Verbruggen might save a penalty tomorrow, as I keep saying. The more I say it, the more I feel I'm manifesting it. If I say it again, Mark Verbruggen will save a penalty. If I say that Mark Verbruggen, I can't even fucking say his name, Mark Verbruggen will save a penalty.
Well, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Creepy Genius.
Well, yeah. Verbruggen, bring him down. Red card. I don't know. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Tell everyone what is going on this week, Sam.
So actually, I ended up having a really busy week last week and unexpectedly ended up on the Fantasy Show, if anybody happened to catch it. This week, I have been recording a vlog this weekend. It's been quite fun to record a vlog. You get to see the raw insight into my emotions yesterday. I will put it together tomorrow and put it out.
It would be a Spurs fan at the minute. Oh,
honestly,
days.
When you watch it, just don't think badly of me. I'll pop it out on
where is it, on Insta?
I haven't put it out yet. I haven't edited it together yet. It's just in chunks and videos. But so tomorrow, one of my jobs from the morning is to put it together. We'll go on Instagram and TikTok. So yeah, give it a watch if you want to see a Spurs fan very upset. So that's coming tomorrow. Lee's going to be on the Sky Sports News Fantasy Show podcast this week.
Can't wait going on that as an expert at 900k.
On
excellent.
Tuesday, well, better than having me on last week, to be fair. I did it last week. Lee's doing it this week, so they'll be going on this week as well.
I won't be 900k though, because, I don't know if you heard, but Bart Verbruggen is going to save a penalty tomorrow night.
And then get sent off.
Nope. Just a penalty save, thank you, Sam.
He's going to concede and then be sent off, I think is what I've heard. And then what else is going on? The FPL pod will be back. Kelly Bench Dorgu.
God, bloody hell.
I noticed that. Jules has had a stinker. Worse than you, I think.
No.
I think so. So that'll be fun. I'm going to Spurs again on Tuesday night. You may or may not see me again for Ohio on Thursday.
Another vlog after that one?
Well, look, to be honest. Oh, God, do you want me to vlog through that game? I can.
That's the content they all want, Sam, really. They don't want me ranting about early wild cards. They want you vlogging live from Spurs.
Okay. Right. I will vlog the game.
God.
On Tuesday night. I can't promise what my language will be like, but I'll put some beeps on. So, yeah, we'll do that. Thursday, we'll be back with the official podcast in the morning and then Ohana in the evening. If you're not a member of our Patreon channel, head over to patreon.com/FPL family. You do not have to be a paid member to get Ohana podcasts. They are completely free. You just have to sign up. And we put them out every Thursday. We basically talk about what we're going to do in the next game week. So yeah.
And if you want to join us over on Patreon, the Slack community, as usual, all you patrons, there's a load of them in here tonight. Obviously, loads of good FPL chat. Obviously, me ranting about shit all the time. Sorry for that, Slackers. But are we allowed to talk about nice news? Like, we have like family news and stuff in there, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Rory popped up today and a little baby this weekend.
I hope you don't mind us saying, I didn't check with him whether we can
sort of say that.
We have but
now. Congratulations to Rory. Congratulations. And your lovely lady wife and your oldest son.
Yeah,
it's
so nice,
one.
Wasn't it? It's so nice. That's why, and I've said this before, like, the Slack is, that community is so nice. Yes, we all have a, it's FPL nonsense in it. We're all talking about FPL. And when the games are actually on, it's like they're slack, always like the United fans were loving it this week. Some weeks they're not. I'm in there whinging. Some weeks I'm not. It's just, it's healthy
I'm
banter.
Just always in there whinging.
It's healthy banter that's not on the sort of ex Twitter in the gutter level, which is a nice level. But also,
we all blame George for everything.
We all blame George for everything.
You gave me that Duff manager.
You weren't saying that at the beginning of the season.
He can have him back.
You weren't saying that at the beginning of the season.
He can have him back. I'm getting Xavi Alonso.
Equally, there's some lovely stuff that happens in there, like one of our patron supporters, Rory Scott, having a little baby girl.
Boy.
Boy. Glad you're paying attention. What's the name?
He doesn't have a name yet.
Oh, because it was early. Very early, the babies. Yeah.
So we were Rory said, does anyone have any name ideas? So Max Levy contributed some name ideas.
I think Rory's surname is Scott, isn't it? So Evie was like, do you want to call it Travis?
That was it. One of Evie's suggestions.
Travis Scott. Beautiful. Right. On that lovely note, guys, that's a much nicer note to end on than my red arrow. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll be back this time next Sunday after Bart Verbruggen has saved a penalty. I will say it one more time.
Hopefully our team's winning the Champions League league.
Hopefully our teams can... Oh. Do you know what? Hopefully our teams can be entertaining, Sam. Let's say that. Let's just say it'd be an entertaining game of football.
I just don't want to lose again. honestly, I can't go there and watch us lose again. I've watched us lose 24 times.
Like and subscribe. See you soon, guys. Speak to you next week. Cheers.